Why would you eat dry cereal?
Last time we were together, we started with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spoke very briefly on the sign gifts. Just different categories in which the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given out. Keep in mind, we're talking about these things being given after salvation. The sign gifts, one of them is tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 is the key passage that talks about that. And how does it show up? Starts at Pentecost. There are two interpretations on tongues. Do you guys remember what they are? Okay, what are they, Blake? All right. Foreign language and unknown tongue. Depending. I know people that land on both, where they will say that it's some of them are foreign languages, some of them are unknown tongues. Or some people land on that they're just all foreign languages. Where you want to particularly land is up to you, because it's a tertiary issue. All right, Sam, do you know what the word tertiary means? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It doesn't come after primary, but it does come after secondary. Thirdary, yeah. There you go, thirdary. All right, that's what tertiary is. So it's not a major issue, but that's kind of the bulk of sign gifts. There's a little bit of another sign gift that's still kind of floating around. Do you guys know what the other key one would be outside of speaking in tongues? Well, the flaming tongues show up on this one. Zedekiah? Yeah, healing is the other one. I know not everyone lives on my end of town, but those of you that know where I live, if you go down Hope Mills Road... I know. All right, it's called River House Church. Anyway, so I saw they paid a lot of money. I shouldn't say a lot of money. They paid money to advertise on Facebook, and that's where I saw it a while back. But they were advertising that they were having some guest speaker come in, and they were going to have a healing service. And so they were inviting people who had issues to come to this healing service. All right. Just want to throw that out. If that did in fact work, that'd put Cape Fear Hospital out of business. Okay, so the idea of a gift of healing, you have to understand that if that were true, why are there still sick people? Right. Because they don't have the money. That's usually what it boils down to. This is, I don't know, if I said the name Benny Hinn, do you guys even know that name? Does anyone actually know that name? Benny Hinn. He became very well known on a national level for his healing ministry, because that's what he would do. These are the individuals that we'll talk about being slain in the spirit, where if you catch a YouTube video, they're really quite entertaining. They'll take like a suit jacket and they'll like start hitting people with it and making them fall down. And supposedly that's their healing. You know what? I have thought about hitting some people before, but not for healing. Yeah. You know what? If I hit you in the head enough, your problem might be healed. Or my problem would be healed. Yeah, my problem would be healed. But when it comes to speaking in tongues, Scripture gives that prescription on what it's supposed to be. When it comes to what I would classify as serving gifts, there's the gift of evangelism. Evangelism is typically described as the proclaiming of the gospel with exceptional clarity. It also can not just necessarily be the idea of they're abundantly clear, but more of like that's their kind of passion, that's what they're driven towards. There's the gift of pastoring, which is the idea of caring or overseeing, protecting for. There's the gift of serving, which is helping other people with a selfless attitude. There's the gift of teaching. which is causing people to learn God's truth. I think we understand what that is. The faith is a spiritual gift in the sense of the faith in which you trust God with. There's also what's called exhortation, which is the encouraging or admonishing people, not necessarily on a public level like teaching would be. Mercy is the idea of ministering to people that are afflicted or needy. Giving is just that, giving. Through generosity, administration is directing within the body of Christ. Discerning spirits, the ability to discern truth from error. Wisdom, which is a supernatural level of wisdom. And then there is also knowledge, which is similar to wisdom, but is an understanding given by God. All right, so now let's talk about some of these gifts. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are just that, meaning they are gifts from the Holy Spirit, which means you do not necessarily possess them prior to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So if you know someone, those of you that either go to a public school or have gone to a public school, there's no shortage of people who have a gift of teaching but do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. So do they have the gift of the Holy Spirit of teaching? Okay, the answer would be no. All right, this particular gift of teaching is prior to salvation, it does not exist. And that does not necessarily mean that because of salvation that this gift is like a light switch that suddenly turned on. It's a prime biblical example of this would kind of be like Moses. All right, if you know the story of Moses, he is one who is not eloquent of tongue. He's concerned about his ability to speak. And then God calls him for what is expected of him, and God enables him to do what it is he's called him to do. That's the same kind of thing. Charles Spurgeon would be one, if you guys know that name, which you should all know that name, who prior to his salvation was not considered someone who was a phenomenal speaker. But because of the Holy Spirit's work in his life, that happens. Charles Spurgeon? He has the title of the Prince of Preachers, but he is the one who, I will say build in the sense, I don't know that he actually built the structure. Build is in the stamina, the core that it was, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. So when the Church of England is having, you know, its heyday, he's building a gospel-centered church in England. Pretty much anyone who would claim Christianity has some level of gratitude for Charles Spurgeon. If you actually really want a short synopsis, and I'm sure Nathaniel could correct me on this, I think Shai Lin is actually the one who has a rap about his life. It might be Timothy Brindle. One of those guys that, it's not beautiful eulogy, but one of those like true Christian rappers, they have a rap that is the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. All right, I'll finish early, Sam, and then we can pull it up on YouTube. All right, so now let's talk about spiritual gifts and their relevance to you. Please understand, if you are not a believer, you do not have spiritual gifts. Please understand, if you are a believer, you've been given or are being given spiritual gifts, but that does not necessarily mean that you're using them. So what does that mean when it comes to spiritual gifts and your role and recognition of them? All right. Well, number one, you should care, right? Why should you care? Why should you care? Okay, because God cares. What's the point of a spiritual gift? Let's ask that question. What's the point of a spiritual gift? Nathaniel?
Enable you to preach the gospel.
Okay, there is one to preach the gospel, but is the giving of a spiritual gift to a believer, is that the only reason? Iris? Okay, it's meant to glorify God, absolutely. DJ? But yet he's interested in it.
But yet he
but he would never use it.
And he hasn't used it to date, but he's going to.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what else? Iris said to glorify God. What else? What's the purpose of a spiritual gift? Why should you even care? All right. What's the point of... That one's already been said. Okay, so to glorify God is the big broad brush category. And now, how do you glorify God through using spiritual gifts? Or what's the purpose of them? Right. Which is what? Zedekiah, what were you going to say? Okay, so along the same lines of what Nathaniel said, under glorify God by bringing, being influential in more people believing the gospel. Yes, that's one category. What's another way in which it would, there's the ability to glorify God? Here, let's flip back at this list. All right. Evangelism, we've kind of got that. Okay, the gift of pastoring, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching. Who is the object of those three?
The person who is being served to.
All right. What category of people? We've got a great collective noun that refers to the category of people that are being served, that are being taught, that are being pastored. Yeah, the church. The whole point is the congregation or the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to benefit. So yes, there are more people that are supposed to come into the kingdom of God as a result of the spirit, your spiritual gift. It's also supposed to be for the bettering, the challenging, the building up of other believers. So it's absolutely the opposite. It's absolutely the opposite of a self-service idea, that you do things on your own. So the question that I want you to ask yourself is, one, are you a believer? And then if the answer is yes, the next question is this. Do you have a spiritual gift? Well, the answer would be yes, if you are a believer. It's the bulk of the list that you find in Scripture. I might have missed one. But that's the bulk of the list that you'll see.
And they kind of go down. They kind of go down in different categories. Like serving wise, Sam, you could not be good at, like, let's say preaching, but you could be good at, like,
All right, DJ, go ahead. Wait, that Sam that threw my child in the lake?
Yes.
That Sam is good with kids?
Yes, he's a parent to be a dad. My dad threw me
at... Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, so... The gifts. Let's circle back to actually what it is that we're trying to discuss. Is if you're a believer, you've been given a gift or maybe even multiple gifts by the Holy Spirit. As a result of the Holy Spirit living within a believer, He enables that believer to do certain things for service. Some people... Are you done? He enables some people to do something like mercy, which is the idea of caring for people. Or it's the idea of giving. All right. So, the question you have to ask yourselves is, if you're a believer and you've been given a spiritual gift, do you know what it is? Or maybe the more important question is, do you care what it is? Because the culture in which you live is entirely self-centered. It is not about doing what's best for others. It's about what's doing what is best for you. It's about building yourself up. It's about building up your own following, building your own legacy, establishing your own level of authority, which is the complete opposite of what a biblical Christian is supposed to be doing. Because it's not about building up your own anything. See, it's easy to step into Sunday school and say, oh, the purpose of these things is to glorify God. Okay, great. So He's given you the ability to do these things to glorify Him. Now what have you been doing in the last week to glorify Him? Is it speaking into someone's life like you should? Is it having mercy on someone that needs to have mercy shown to them? And I'm not talking in the sense of, all right, so you offend me and I don't deck you, therefore I showed you mercy. All right, that's self-control. Yeah, that's a fruit of the Spirit, but not necessarily a gift of the Spirit. But that's right. What I'm trying to get you to distinguish is the difference between there are things that we, as a believer, are supposed to be doing because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and He's supposed to be getting more control. And there are things that we have the ability to now do that we previously did not because the Holy Spirit is there and He's giving us a gift not to better my sanctification, not to remove sin from my life, but to benefit the body outside of myself. See, self-control benefits me. Yeah, sure, okay, well, you can get cocky. I'm like, oh, it benefits the person that didn't deck. All right, sure. But that benefits you. Patience, they're benefiting you in the process of glorifying God and evidencing the Holy Spirit's indwelling of your life. But these gifts are designed for the church, other believers around you to be better because of your gifting. So, how do we recognize them? Well, one, we ask God to show them to us. We also secure information from Scripture. What does this gift look like? Is this a gift that's still available or present today? Examine your past service of what you have done for serving the kingdom and see, okay, what ministries have I served in that have been the most rewarding? And what gift best matches that service? All right, if you are not someone, we don't have a ton of them here at Berean. We have one that I'm aware of. But a nursing home ministry, all right? Not everyone is cut out to be serving in a nursing home ministry. Why? Because you really need to have the gift of mercy to do so. Because you're going into an environment in which there are people that can do nothing for you, really can do fewer things for themselves. You're going into that type of an environment, and all you're there for is to really serve them, but you have to have a level of compassion to go in and deal with that. Okay? That's where I would say the gift of mercy would be absolutely crucial in serving in a nursing home ministry. Versus, that's one level, but it's completely different if you have a heart for serving in our church nursery and ministering to kids there. And then you can also look at what others who have that gift look like. And then you can evaluate the things that you like or dislike about serving in ministry. What are your inner desires and drives? If you're someone who has no desire to be in front of people, well, then maybe teaching or pastoring is not for you. Your dad doesn't like talking in front of people. Right. But yet, what has happened, Sam? Right. His natural propensity was, I don't like that. But the indwelling Holy Spirit in your dad has started to make things aware to him over the last several years of, I need to be able to, I should be able to, this is something that I enjoyed doing. And that's where it started to move him in a direction that now he's leading a Bible study on Wednesday nights. Because it was, what was his inner desire or his inner drive? Well, it was one thing. But then the Holy Spirit started to move him elsewhere. Okay, it's not necessarily a natural gift or a natural desire. It's something that the Holy Spirit does, which is why it only applies to believers. You can ask someone who knows you really well to evaluate your spiritual gifts. You can pay attention when people compliment you in ministry. If there's something that you do in the body of Christ, all right, just pay attention when people thank you or congratulate you or compliment you on doing a great job. What are the circumstances of that? Another aspect is to test them out. Go try them. Try different things. All right, so we'll stop there. That will conclude our time in the Holy Spirit, and we will pick up next time with looking at who Christ is.